To worship you, I live. Thank you, Lord. Just say then, Father, your love is overwhelming. I'm overwhelmed by your love for me. Say that one more time. I am overwhelmed by your love for me. Hallelujah. Amen. Well, it's good to see everyone here today. There's something about that song struck a chord with my heart today. His love is overwhelming. It's undeserved. Well, I wonder, that's not the right word. It's unearned is a better word. His love is overwhelming. Today is 10 months to the day after the devil tried to kill me. So we celebrate every month with a cake. That's a hint for my wife over there. You know, the scripture promises us a fight. And Steve said it good this morning. He said, you're born into a fight. You know, I think you say you're born again. The moment you're born again into a fight. And, you know, as a teacher and as a minister, there's usually two things you want to try to get across to people. And that is the first thing, that you're loved. Everyone needs to know that they're loved. That's the kid in you. Needs to know you're loved. That you can't fail God. You're loved by Him. And even when you're going through struggles and through hard times, and, you know, some are, as they say, deserved, but not really deserved. They're your own making. You know, kids make mistakes, if you ever had them. I remember sitting in a service, and the young preacher was preaching about how you need to raise your kids, and they need to be taught like this and trained like this. The old preacher started to nudge me in the rib, and he said, they only preach like that when their kids are young. They never preach that. Once their kids turn into teenagers, they stop teaching about how to raise kids. So, I think the overwhelming part of God, of His love for us, is to always know that even if you can trace back your struggles to a stupid choice you made, He still loves you. And not only does He still love you, there's hope for you to walk out of it. See, the basis of our faith for victory is not built in how good we are. It's not built in our good choices, as much as it's built upon the faith of what Jesus has already done for us. And because that's the second thing that people need to hear, not just that He loves you. Pastor Dave says people build huge churches. He said people will pay you good money and come hear you preach if you tell them they're okay. And so there's a whole business out there called church of making people feel they're okay. But it's part of it. Part of the Father's heart towards us is for us to know He loves us. Do you know you could be a pretty rotten guy your whole life and still go to heaven and still be His child, just be the rotten one, you know? And you know, the moment that old flesh falls off of you and you're in heaven, you're perfect. And so everything's done. I mean, I don't know about you. I mean, there may be a battle for who gets the bigger mansion in heaven. But really, the first goal is just to get there, you know. Hey, if I'm there living in a shack, I'm still here, buddy, you know. And like I said, we're in heaven, so I want to come take over your living room and your big mansion. You can't kick me out. You can't be mean to me because we're in heaven. So knowing that He loves you is important. It's probably, I think, the first point of the gospel of the New Testament is to know that you have a Father that loves you. The moment you're born again, he loves you even before you're born again, but he's not your father. But the moment you're born again, he becomes your father. And no matter what, no matter how many times you fail or struggle or make bad decisions, you can always go back to this one place. And that's called, he loves me. He loves me. Today, I have a father who loves me. He looks past my flesh. He looks at me like I'm already in heaven. And he loves me. Even when I do stupid things, he loves me. Even if I disobey, he loves me. And that is the heart of the Father, and that all of us are hungry for. How many like to hear that? See, that's the first and most important point of the gospel, is he loves you. The second most important of the gospel is there's hope for victory. There's hope for victory. It's nice to hear all the things that God gave me as an heir of the kingdom of God. You're an heir of the kingdom of God. Do you know that? That you are an heir of all things, of prosperity, of health, of victory over the enemy. The enemy's already under your feet. How many know that? He's already defeated. But the second most important part of the gospel is not just that he know that or hear that, but how do I make that work? How do I make it work in my life? How do I make victory work in my life? You know, I'm celebrating 10 months of still being alive after the enemy tried to kill me. And you can look at it both ways. I don't want to try to be, super special and say, oh, the enemy tried to kill me. Whether it was a natural thing or a demonic specific attack, the point is I'm still here. And there's two things I know. Number one, he loves me. And number two, there's a way to victory. See, if you ask me, well, what's your goal? Well, my goal is to get completely to walk in the fullness of my health that was purchased for me already. So I want us to look here. Let's go to Mark chapter 11. We'll do some old-fashioned preaching today. And I want to talk about while you're walking into the victory that's already been purchased for you. See, we're not trying to earn something. One of my confessions that I say every day is, Father, I'm healed, not because of my hard work, not because of medicine, but because of what Christ has already done for me. But does that mean you don't work hard at recovery? Does that mean I've been around enough to run into lots of different circumstances. And the views that I'm about to preach to you today, they're not views that I have, that I've discovered during my my battle with my health that I've had. And I had a couple good mamas come to me and say, now, you said a few times that you called it my stroke and you shouldn't call it my stroke. And I'm okay. I appreciate those mamas because it's not my stroke. It's the devil's stroke. Turn back on him right now in Jesus' name. But whatever you're battling through, because there's something to a word, guy, when you're walking in faith and you're doing your best to serve God and you're confessing and believing, and all of a sudden something doesn't work that's supposed to work. That makes you go, well, why the heck does this not work? This is supposed to be working. And when it comes to health, that health and having your needs met, those are two things that you can that are yours that you're allowed to fight for. Now, if you were to argue with me about having three or even two Jaguars, not the animals, but cars or Rolls Royce or an extra big house, I might argue with you that that's not a good argument to make for the gospel's sake, as much as salvation and everything else that comes with it. But your needs being met, you can believe for no matter what. It doesn't matter if you tithe, if you give to the gospel, if you're not faithful with finances. How many know that you can trust God to meet your needs? Now, he may tell you to get a job. That may be how he says, I open a job for you. That may be the way he's leading you to meet your needs. But I want to specifically talk about healing today, because healing is something that you always deserve. Not because of what you've done, but because of what Jesus has already done. Healing is something, a circumstance, that you're allowed to fight for to be whole in your body. And you're allowed to stand for. And, you know, there's many different sicknesses that come and go in this world. There's germs that come. And, you know, as a preacher, I remember getting condemned when I go out, get ready to preach, and I'd have to take something to stop my nasal passages from being blocked, because I get stuffed up because a cold bug had gotten into my system. And I'm getting ready to preach, and the worst thing for me to preach is when I can't breathe. And I still go preach, but can I take this pill for 1 hour so that when I preach, they can understand me? And I remember feeling condemned, like, this is a lack of faith. Or my throat would get sore, and can I take a lozenge while I speak, you know? And so, I mean, these are things that I would fight. When I was at Brother Norville's, I overseen a lot of things, and he would get on TV and say, now, if you have a child that's sick, if you have a disease in your body, if you have a child that's demon-possessed, bring them to my ministry in Cleveland, Tennessee, and we will pray for you, and you will be set free. And that'd be on TV. Well, if you lived in Cleveland, Tennessee, with Brother Norville's ministry, you found that he traveled a lot. So he would say that on TV, and people would come and bring like all kinds of, they come in masks, and they come with, you know, one time before my time, they brought in a guy with hand, like chained together because he was demon possessed. And of course, when they got there, Norville was out of town, so I'd have to talk to him and say, well, I'm sorry, but Brother Norville's not here. And they'd say, well, we need Norville to pray for us. And I say, well, you're stuck with me. You know, well, I need Norville to pray for me. Yeah, I know that, but he's not here. So this is what you get. And over the years, I can't, countless numbers of people of many different conditions came. And what I found was that many people were trying to prove they had faith. They felt they had to prove they had faith for them to receive something from God. People taking themselves off medication. I remember in Bible college, when the first year students would come, we had all of our ushers prepared for the first couple weeks. They're on the front row, and they were in ready to run, because it would never fail. Every year, some new Bible college student would come. And during the first couple weeks of services, they'd take their glasses off, and they'd hold their glasses in the air. And that's when the ushers were commanded. When you see a first-year Bible college student hold their glasses up in the air, you need to tackle them and save those glasses. Because what they're about to do is they're about to throw them on the ground and step on them and crush them and say, God, you're my healer, because they got excited about the word saying you're healed. And the problem with first-year Bible college students is they're broke. They can't afford new glasses. So we would have them walk around for weeks, sometimes months, one guy drove out of the parking lot and drove right into the building across the street. You know, trying to prove to God he had faith. And there's horror stories of people who went to a service and the preacher said, throw your medicine away if you believe. And then they would die a few weeks later because the medicine was keeping them alive. And, of course, that preacher wouldn't take credit for that. You know, it's like, well, you know, shouldn't have listened to me. You know, the point is, along the road of where you are in your healing, and I'm preaching to myself, a lot of my old messages have been helping me to my own thing. But I want to share a little bit of insight that I've learned also along this path. And because, in all honesty, going through the battle I have been since I had my stroke. Well, thank you, Mama. Since I was attacked with a stroke. I see. I'm worried about the word police. The siren goes off. Nee, 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 nee. But since I was attacked, is a recovery that most doctors say really I can't attain, but I believe I can. And I remember one time going to the emergency room, we had a young man, a friend of mine, one of my youth, he was 18, and already left. He was my youth, one of the young people in my youth group when I was a youth pastor. Already moved down to Tennessee. Up in Canada, he pulled out on a foggy night onto a highway, and a dump truck hit him doing 50, 60 miles an hour right on the driver's side of the door. And so they called, and I made a trip up there. He was in the ICU for over a month before I even got there. And they had told him, well, he's brain dead. They said, well, basically what happens is his head was jarred so much that his brain had turned to mush, that the cells actually let go of each other. And so when I got up there, it had already been a month. He'd been on life support. And still, you know, you're in denial. And I'm not sure about the month, but it was probably about a month before I got to see him. And I was in the emergency room with his parents. And I mean, they've been praying. The church have been praying and standing for a miracle, not giving up. First rule of believing for miracles, you never give up. And it's okay to stand on the Word of God no matter what. And so, like, well, you know, as a preacher, you don't want to give hope to them. You don't want to get their hopes up, you know. That's the doctor's job. Your job is to be wise, to analyze a situation, and to know where you're walking. But the Word of God, you have to defend the Word of God. The Word of God is truth, always. And so, in there, we were standing, and I went and prayed with them, and we're in the emergency ICU visitor's room, yeah. And we were at peace. Everything was peaceful. They're saying, we're believing, the church is believing. You can tell they were really standing in faith for a miracle for their son, their 18-year-old boy. And over the intercom came a voice saying, Dr. Johnson to room 420. Dr. Johnson, code blue, there's code red, code blue. Code blue, I think, is the bad one. And that's when all the doctors run because someone's dying right then. And right then, their heart started to beat fast, and they said, well, that's his doctor, and he's in room 412. And so they started to get really worried because they just told me, like, a number of good reports. Okay. And, like, things were, he was breathing on his own when they didn't think he would. And, you know, things like that. And but, of course, on the intercom, it was room 412. It was a different room. And that's when the Lord spoke to me and said, when you stand in faith, hold on to the good reports, but that's not the proof of your victory. The proof of your victory is the Word of God. Because if you only hold on to the good reports, when a bad report comes, you're going to lose all the emotional strength that you have. Because faith is not an emotional thing. It is from the Spirit. Faith is a decision of the Spirit. And a decision to drag your emotions to obey and believe what the Word of God says and not what circumstances say. Say amen if you're still with me. And so it's okay to be encouraged by good reports, but that's not where your hope, you can't let your hope lie in good reports. Your hope has to lie in the Word of God, because the hope in a good report can be smashed with a bad report. And because if you're fighting for a healing in your body, then you'll discover you'll have good days, you'll have bad days, you'll have great big strides of goodness, and then you'll get what I call a setback. A setback's like, man, I just made 23 good steps forward, and all of a sudden you just made 24 back, and you got to get back up and start walking again. And he woke up. They told me that he was brain dead, but he woke up one day and started talking and went to college, got married. You know, that's 20 years ago. And so you don't have to believe what the doctor says, because like Gary says, the doctors are just doing their job. So you don't get mad at them. I don't get too smart, Alecky. I'm kind of polite. I'm Canadian mostly, but I get a little bit, like when I went in with the wheelchair to the doctor, they said, the nurse was being nice, oh, you need to fancy that up, put some flames on that. And I looked at her really stern. I said, no way. I'm not going to put any money into this old wheelchair, because it was a used wheelchair anyway. So, I'm not going to keep this thing. I'm getting out of this thing, you know. And I remember when I first started walking, I could barely walk. Like, when the stroke first hit me, I had to relearn how to swallow, how to talk, how to smile. I'm still learning. Like, this week, I noticed a difference in my vocal ability to speak. But I remember I could barely walk. I was determined, I'm not taking that wheelchair back in there. I want to walk right back into that place. And I said, I may get a tattoo of a flame on my shoulder, but I'm not going to put anything on this wheelchair. You know. And, I had one therapist, she was working on my arm, and she said, now, we don't know how far you can recover. You know, there's no, I said, stop. I said, I don't know what you have to say, but I won't work with anyone who won't stop saying that. You don't have to tell me I'm going to recover. I get that from the Word. But don't tell me I'm not going to recover, or I'll have to find someone else, you know. Anyways, that young man, he's a good friend of mine, golfs and runs around, and God healed him. Doctors gave up on him, and God healed him. You don't have to, your healing does not come from the natural. Now, your body itself is made to heal itself. Your body is built originally by God to heal itself. So your body has defenses. So when you get a cold, you know, and a cold attacks you, and my favorite is I had a cold, and I confessed for 5 days, and I went away. Hallelujah. You know, it's like, okay, I mean, that's great, you know, but your body also can make it go away, you know. I found a place because the hospital was trying to get us out of there after 4 or 5 days because of our insurance situation. I couldn't move anything on my left side in just one set, like one moment. If you set me up on the bed, I'd fall over to the left. And so one of my therapies was grabbing my weaker hand and pushing it forward and back, you know. I said, okay, I'm doing exercises. They have one exercise called PX90, which is like a real hardcore exercise, like you do crazy things, PX90. And I said, well, I'm at PX1 right now and working my way back up, PX90, you know. And you got it, you know, one thing is you don't lose your sense of humor. When I was a kid, I had a surgery on my jaw, so they actually have two screws in there. And so there's a young guy, and he's like, I was in the ICU, and the nurse, good-looking, tall guy, he said, now, we want to do an MRI, do you have any metal I need to know about? And an MRI is where they really, like, it's a magnet. They put your head in and try to see your brain. And we want to know what's going on. I said, well, I have screws in there. He said, oh, well. What kind of screws? I said, I don't know. You know, that was when I was like 18 years old. You know, that's a long time ago. And he goes, do you know where we can find out? And I said, I don't know. I don't know. I can't. You know, so he's like, well, the doctor says we can't do it because the magnet will actually pull the screws out and burn a hole in your face. And I said, oh, okay, well, let's not do that, you know. And so this tall call guy comes in. He's like, all right. His name was Justin. He said, I want to take you down the MRI. I talked to the MRI guy. We think we can do it without hurting you. I said, what kind of nurse are you now? You know, are you a doctor? He said, no, I think we can do it. He said, we looked at the x-rays and from the CAT scan, and he said, I think we can do it. And besides, you'll have a button. So if it starts to burn, just push the button. I'm like, you guys are all crazy, you know. I'm laying on this slab. I can't fight back too much. So they drag me down there, and the two of them are talking to me, and they're being nice. Like, okay, I'm pretty sure that the power of our MRI is small enough that it won't burn a hole through your face. I'm like, look, I already am battling a stroke. I want to keep my face, you know. And so they put me in there with this little button. They said, okay, now just relax. If you feel any burning, just push the button. Well, you don't know. You're laying there. You're like, now, wait a minute. My nerves on my left side, I can't feel very good. What if my nerves aren't working right and I'm burning? I can't feel it. So I was trying to smell for smoke and, you know. And well, they got me out of there, and you know, which was good because then the doctors got to see that there wasn't anything beyond what happened. And, you know, the doctors never really told me much. But I really appreciated this tall, dark-haired, good-looking young guy. He was an ICU nurse. His name was Justin. And so I was in there, and all of a sudden the doctor came in. And she was like, it was a school, guys who wanted to be doctors, following this woman doctor around. She was in charge, and you could tell she was really smart, and you could tell she was in charge. And so there's seven doctors, probably all pretty short, and all standing there in their doctor outfit, and Justin was standing behind them. Tall Justin, long, dark hair, good looking, nice, you know, made me feel safe. And all these doctors, and I remember the doctors was asking a question, and it was like it was funny because she turned around and asked the doctor, all these young doctors, a question, and they all gave answers, and she kept looking at them, and one of them said, "I think that's all of it." And the other guy said, "It can't be. She's still looking at me." And you know, they're all afraid of her. So for some reason, maybe because I was nervous, I was trying to be extra funny. And I can't talk straight because half my face wasn't working. But I'm still trying to talk. And so I said, which one of you is number 13, which is off the TV show called House? And none of the doctors laughed. They never laughed at all. And I said, Justin. Because he was standing behind him, tall. Good. Are you single? Yes. And all the doctors are there to look at me, and I'm making jokes. I said, you're single? You go to church? Yeah. I said, you're not broke, are you? No. I said, Justin, I want to introduce you to my daughter, Brittany. And I said, you know, and of course, no one laughed. The doctors didn't laugh. You know, Justin was afraid because the doctor was not laughing. And Brittany said to me later, she said, a room full of doctors, because Brittany's a nurse, you know, a room full of doctors, and you introduced me to the nurse, you know. What is wrong with you? Well, you know what I told her, right? I just said, I had a stroke. Christy said, that doesn't work anymore. Let me read Mark 11:23. For surely I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, but does not doubt in his heart, but believes those things which he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. Therefore I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you will have them. Okay. I'm trying to give you a message on faith today while you're going through a battle that doesn't line up with your words. Because here we are confessing, standing on the Word of God, You got 1,000 tons of circumstances on top of you, and your little hand squeezes up there, and your hands begin to worship God because you trust His word more than you trust what the doctor is saying. And you're believing for a change in your body that doesn't seem to be coming. The flat answer that can be told you is, well, you just don't believe. Because it says here, if you believe and you speak it, you'll have whatever you say. Now, this is what I'm preaching to you now is kind of what I have evolved to through the years. Because when you're young and you're healthy and you don't have any aches and pains or anything wrong with your body, or you have no needs, you don't have to pay for a mortgage, you don't have to pay for food for your kids, it's easy to say something like, well, you just don't believe. That's why you're having problems in your body. You gotta have faith like me. It's easy to believe you have faith when everything goes right. But when everything doesn't go right, are you still in faith? The answer to that question is, if you're trusting the Word of God, then you're still in faith. You can believe while you're working on your believing. Can I put it that way? Because reality is this. If we truly believed we are who He says we are, and He is who He says He is, sickness has no right in your body. Amen. You have authority over it and over the devil. But what happens when you're doing everything in faith and boom, something happens to your body? And I'm going to include emotions with this because emotion struggles can be also physical. So you're fighting. It's like, well, I guess I just don't believe. See, that's the worst thing you can come to. The worst conclusion you can come to is, I guess I don't believe. And we had a lady who was told she had cancer in the four corners of her liver. She was a school teacher. She was going to die. There was no hope for her. So she confessed the Word of God and confessed the Word of God and confessed the Word of God. And then you ask her, what happened after 6 months? Nothing, but I was still here. Well, what happens after 9 months? Well, a little bit, I got a feeling a little bit better. What happens after 12 months? Well, after 12 months, it left. Well, how much did you confess the Word of God? 4 hours a day. She spoke the Word of God. 6 months with no sign of improvement. See, when you stand on the Word of God, it means that you put all your hope and all your faith in what He's already done. Now, did she take medication? Well, that's what kept her alive for that year, to let her work on her faith. I want to say there's no problem with taking medication. If the doctor says you need it, go ahead and take it. And then believe while you're receiving. Am I preaching okay? Because sometimes with faith, a stand of faith, we can get so focused on the fight of faith that we make it like an idol, if I can say it that way. You make your healing such a focus of your faith that you make it an idol. That's all my life is to be healed. And although we want that, if you live like that, you will become unbalanced. We had a lady I went to pray for. She had Lou Gehrig's disease, a sweet lady. And the Lou Gehrig's disease it begins to take away your muscles, and it's a horrible disease. And I went and prayed with her and encouraged her. But one of the things that I noticed was that she didn't spend more time with her family because she didn't want to show weakness towards the disease. She thought it would be a lack of faith for her to spend time with family, a sign that she was giving in. But I'm not going to spend extra time with my kid, my grandkids or my kids, because that may appear to God that I'm accepting that I'm going to die. And see, when you go through a health scare, I don't know how many have been through one, but if you ever go through a health scare, the first thing you think about is your family. The second thing you do is you begin to appreciate what is important and begin to forget about what in your life is not important. You let go of stuff quickly. And so there's kind of a healthy purging of things that don't matter when you go through a health scare. Can I say it that way? So I noticed with her, and I've noticed over the years, many people, while they fought for their health, chose not to do certain things because they wanted to prove they had faith. See, like that Bible college student holding up glasses. He thought, if I hold up my glasses and smash them to the ground, then that's proof that I have faith and God's going to heal me. But see, the proof of believing is the result that you're healed. So any kind of body thing that you're fighting, you can believe and walk in believing until you fully believe and grasp it, that I am whole in Jesus' name and receive your miracle. You don't have to prove it first. You don't have to throw away your medicine. You don't have to cast away your family. You don't have to throw your glasses away. You can still receive help while you're believing. It's important that you have family. I can't tell you with my family, my friends, our close friends, and the church here, just how much I've relied on people for not just physical help. I mean, at first I need help with everything. But, I mean, I don't know if I'll go into everything, but at first I needed help with everything. Just get into the house, just to get into bed, just to get into a chair. I couldn't do anything on my own. And I needed the help of people around me. But emotionally, I needed the help of people around me. It's okay for you to be open. See, this is what I'm trying to get to. When you're going through a fight, it's okay for you to open up, because sometimes trying to be a word person means I only speak the word, that's it, only the word of God, nothing else comes out of my mouth. And we take the word of God and we put it outside of us. Say, I only teach this, I'm only going to say the word of God. I won't crack any jokes. I won't be open about if I'm having a hard day. I won't tell you, how's your day? My day is blessed. I'm highly favored of the Lord. You know, are you doing okay? I'm blessed. Highly favored of the Lord. Sometimes when someone says that you trust, says, are you doing okay? You can say, no, I'm having a horrible day. I feel like giving up. I want to quit. Listen, there's been days I've given up 100 times. There's been days I've given up 1,000 times. But 1,001 times I've gotten back up. So emotionally, you may go through those seasons of I want to give up. Because that's why the attack comes. That's why the attack on your family, your finances, and your body comes from the enemy, is to get you to give up. So emotionally, you can get discouraged. And I want you to know that it's okay for you to open up to people you trust. Not to comfort people, go, oh. But people who will say, it's okay for you to have a bad day, because tomorrow's going to be a better day. See, sometimes you need to hear that. It's okay to include the people around you, to open up. I know when I was in the hospital, Christy had to tell our kids, you know, I said, well, explain to them that Daddy's going to fight and get healed with God's help. And but we didn't hide it from them. You know, but you think, well, aren't you a preacher of faith, of healing, and you should hide it from them, and so they don't think that God doesn't heal, and you don't want to show weakness. Well, we kind of believe the opposite. We want our kids to figure things out. And God's word is truth anyway. God's word can stand on its own whether you get the result you're after or not. And so Chrissy went and told the kids, and I remember telling Harrison and Ava, okay, Daddy's coming home. This side of the face is not working. His speech is a little slurred. You know, and explained to them the situation. And all Harrison said was, what if we laugh at him for his face not working? What if it's so funny we laugh at him? Will that hurt his feelings? And Mommy said, no, you won't hurt his feelings. That's good. See, it's a good sign. I mean, I haven't used my wheelchair for a while. I do if I need to, if I need to go a long distance. Because one of the things I've learned I want to share is in standing for your healing, for your circumstances. And you have to forgive me, because I'm not overly prepared to preach this. I was kind of holding off this for a while, but I feel like he wants me to share this today, is live life while you're going through your battle. That's why I'm up here preaching. Because even if I have to hobble up here, I'm going to live life while I'm going through my battle. And I'm going to do my best to do what I can and push myself and not stay trapped. Because you can trap yourself if all you're focused on is receiving your miracle. You can forget to live life. You forget that other people may need you. You forget what it's like to live. So live life. Gary told me, he said, well, if I had something happen to me, I'd be preaching as soon as possible. Well, as soon as I could, I started to preach. You know, I remember, and I'm amazed at God's grace. Let me just tell you. We had a place that does physical therapy accept me for free for as long as I want. And I have found such love there from those guys. I've been amazed at that group of people. The students there asked me to be their keynote speaker at their graduation last year in May. So I thought, well, that's a challenge. I have to go upstairs, which I hadn't done yet. I wasn't walking very well, and so I said, okay, I'll do it. You know, because I didn't know if I could do it, but it's only one way to find out. And so I did it. I got up there and with my hemi walker and walked up there, and, you know, it took me a few minutes to get across stage, and with my body now, if I get nervous, my arm tones up, which means it goes up. And so I got up there and I spoke, and the presence of God came. These are all, I remember one of the teachers at the college, because it's a college that I get my therapy at, said, now, just, I know you're a preacher. He said, but not everyone who, and I know we're in Oklahoma, but not everyone who's coming believes in God. You know, because some of the big donors were coming for the school. So I said, look, I'm a preacher. I'm going to talk about God. I said, and I won't have an altar call. I said, I may take up an offering. I don't know, but, you know. And so I'm telling you, there was tears. They were crying. This is a group of people who have never experienced the presence of God. And I was just talking. I didn't talk. I talked about God. I talked about my story. I talked about how much I appreciated them. And tears and crying and standing ovation when I was done. Got back in my wheelchair and they wheeled me back to my chair. And the person who oversees organization of physical therapists was so touched that she asked me to speak in September to 200 physical therapists and to share my story. So I got to do the same thing for them. And I was just amazed at what God can do just outside of your little circle if you'll start to live life and don't get so focused on the battle. So if you're going through circumstances, live life. Get up every day and do what you can do for God. Do what you can do, what He's told you to do. And then tomorrow when you get down, you think, oh, it's a bad day. It's not a bad day. You're still breathing. You're still here. You know, heaven's going to be for eternity. You're still here. It's not a bad day. Yeah, and tomorrow will be a better day. You're going to be better tomorrow. Don't give up, but live life a little bit. And include your family. I remember sitting there, you know, in my house. I have to use my cane, which this month we're trying not to use the cane in the house so I can, you know, work on some things. But I can never find my cane because my kids are always stealing it and playing with it and fighting with it. And that's good. See, that's what I want, is I want them to feel safe with going through circumstances. You know, we live on a street that's very steep. It's a very steep hill. Cars, if you drive up in the winter, you'll slide all the way back down. You know, riding a bike down the hill is dangerous because it's real fast. So I'm sitting in my chair looking out the window, and all of a sudden I see my wheelchair go zooming down the road. I'm like, What the heck was that? Did I see my little 10-year-old son pushing it back up the hill? He got it out of the truck and took it up the hill. And I said, what are you doing? Are you nuts? No, it's okay, Dad. I used my coat so I wouldn't burn my hand on the wheel. And it's okay to have fun while you're going through the battle. Because when you put your heart to the Word of God, you're saying, look, I'm going through a battle today, but it's not the end of me. It doesn't define me. It's not who I am. Who I am is more important to God than what I'm going through. And I'm valuable. Say that with me. Say, I am valuable. See, you're important to people. You're important to the people around you, the people at work, the people in your family, the people at church. You're important. The point of this is not to go live your life. The point of salvation, the first point of salvation, is to get to heaven. But the second point of salvation is not to live your life alone until you get to heaven. The second point of salvation is to become who He made you and walk in all the things He's given to you so you can touch the people around you and help them get to heaven. See, we're a body too. You're valuable to the kingdom of God. Not just to Him, but to people around you. So I just want to encourage you today, when you're going through your fight and you're going through your battle, whatever it is, live life. Time is not your enemy, it's your friend. You can get so worried and so anxious. I'm going to miss my opportunity. Relax. God, there's no missing opportunity with God. Opportunity is purely a flesh thing that you have to go through this now or you're going to miss it. I remember when I was early 20s and they brought me up to Canada and offered me a church. This was a different church, a new church. We're going to start a church and we want you to head it up. Revival's happening in Canada and you need to be in the middle of it. And all I knew in my heart, or in my spirit, I knew that God was telling me no. I didn't have to pray about it. I didn't have to think about it. I knew I was not supposed to take that opportunity. But all I could hear in my mind was, if you don't take it, you won't get another one. If you don't take it, you're going to miss revival in Canada. This might be the door that God opened up for you. And I had to fight that because there was nothing in me that wanted to do it. Thank God for praying in tongues. So, verse 23, for surely I say to you, this is the New King James Version of it, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes those things that he says will be done, he'll have whatever he says. Here I believe he's talking firstly about salvation. Therefore I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them and you will have them. So here's the point. While you're standing in faith for the victory that you know God's already given to you, whether it be your health, whether it be for your family, whether it be for whatever circumstance that you know that God's given to you, you have a promise in the Word of God. For health, there's no question. You know, whether you get the big fancy house, you know, I said before, God may call you to live broke in the jungle. You know, when I say broke, I don't mean without. I mean, you may just have to eat monkey brain and grapes or nuts and coconuts and because that's all there is. That's prosperity. I got 15 coconuts stockpiled. I got more prosperity. I'm more prosperous than the guy next to me. You may not get a nice house in the jungle, if that's where God calls you. But you better go there if He calls you there. You can't take the promise that He's called me to be blessed, hallelujah. Blessed to your flesh is different than blessed to your spirit. And so, while you're standing in faith, I want to share with you that you are in faith if you're standing on the Word of God. The point of what I'm trying to preach is not to make you feel good about yourself. The point I'm trying to preach today is point number two. The Word of God is truth. if you don't give up on it, if you don't quit confessing, if we don't quit confessing, if we don't quit praying in the Holy Ghost, then circumstances must change and bow their knee to the Word of God. And so when you stand and you're praying, I've been praying for 6 months and I still haven't received one change in my body. What does that mean? It means nothing, because faith does not wear a watch. That means that even if the enemy found a crack in your armor, even if there's a part of your believing system that hasn't quite received the fullness of healing, in whatever the reason is, even if you did something to cause the problem, you smoked your whole life and you're fighting a lung disease, that's not the reason you're healed. The reason you're healed is because of what Jesus has done. And so whatever reason that we're not complete in our believing system, it doesn't mean you're not walking in faith. And don't quit standing. And while you're standing, when I say standing, I don't mean just sleeping and just waiting for things to change. While you're standing, while you're believing, that means actively confessing it, actively praying in tongues, actively grabbing your thoughts and pulling them back, actively speaking to that mountain, actively living the life you're supposed to live. That's why I come to church. You know, not for you, but for me. I mean, not just because I want to come sit in church, but because I have to keep living the life I was living. I can't let the devil say, just have to throw a little stroke at you and you hide. You know, no, we're not stopping. We keep moving forward. Because if he can take a circumstance, and that circumstance makes you change course because you want a better circumstance, then you will fight those circumstances your whole life. But when he throws you a circumstance and you dig yourself out of that sucker and you still keep walking forward, here I am sitting on my chair, you know, hallelujah, I got... You know, I'm in a wheelchair, but I'm blessed God. I'm going to be in church because that's where God put me. The devil can't tell me where to go, and as you, that is part of faith. Live your life. Do what you can. Include people. Don't be afraid to talk to someone if you need to. That's not a lack of faith to open up your heart. If you need to take a medicine to keep you going, take your medicine until God helps you wean you off of it. You know, don't be afraid. It's not a lack of faith. Because I've had questions, so many questions throughout the years of people saying, well, if I do this, does that mean God won't heal me? If I do this, does that mean it won't work? Faith is built on the Word of God. And then you live your life on that Word of God. And when you find something in your life, a part of your life, I spoke to that mountain. I spoke to it and it didn't move. I spoke to it, and here's what I've told many, many, many people who come to me in the past and said, I'm fighting this battle in my health, and I don't know why it's not working. I've confessed and confessed and confessed. I prayed and I prayed and I prayed. What's wrong with me? See, when you go through a real battle physically, you stop asking the simple questions. Did you forgive everyone in your life? You know, I've had many suggestions like, did you get a little toy from Brazil that had a witchcraft on it that opened the door for it into your house? You know, did one of it was, well, you're preaching at a preacher who was used to got divorced and remarried, and so that opened the door for the devil. And my answer was, well, if I only preached at people who are perfect, I'd have no place to preach, you know? And you know, a lot of suggestions. No one knows. God knows. And he'll tell you eventually. But the point isn't for you to get schooled. The point is for you to learn to trust and walk. And go. So what if I stand? You know, I know a bunch of people who stood in faith and it didn't work. Doesn't change the Word of God. And doesn't mean they didn't believe. They may have not gotten to the completion of their believing. And this is what I've told many, many people throughout the years as a pastor who've come to me, who've had battles in their body. I've said, Just so you know, if 99% of believers were in your shoes, they would be in the same condition you are. So don't think that you're weaker than someone else. Or don't you dare think you're better than someone else. I had a wart on my finger and I said, go, and it disappeared. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Well, I'm glad that worked for you. You know, and that's good. I mean, that's good. But we have to be careful in our testimonies that there's testimonies of victories and there's testimonies of walking through. They're both come from the same place. They're both victories. And any man or woman who has chosen to stand on the Word of God is victorious. Even if they, even if their body gives out before they, their believer gets complete because they had a bigger battle than someone else. My dad, my birth dad, was born with no fingers on his one hand. He was born with no fingers. Now, you can say, hallelujah, I have all my fingers. How come you don't have yours? Well, I was born like this. Well, if you just had faith, you can have all your fingers. Well, how many know that's a true statement? That there is a place in believing God that a man could believe and actually receive, the maimed can be made whole. But for him to get to that place of revelation may be a little bit longer than for you to be able to keep yours. So whatever battle you're going through, quit judging yourself and comparing yourself. Get up every day. Take as much courage as you can that day. Live as much life as you can that day. And know tomorrow's going to be better. Tomorrow's going to be better. And because there's a word here that says, if I believe, if I say it, I'll have it. So when I say I am healed, and it doesn't happen right then, what's the problem? My word's right. It lines up with God's will. So where's the problem? The problem's in the believing. Well, the believing is the part that we confess and we praise. Okay, I spoke it today. It didn't work. So now I'm going to confess and pray and live life and do what I have to do to keep going. Because if I keep going, I'm working on my believing. And there'll be a day when I believe it, that the moment I speak it, I'll have exactly what I say. So that's the work that needs to be done. But live life. Don't be afraid to have fun while you're going through a battle. It actually makes it a little bit lighter when you're not so so concerned about yourself. And I'm speaking out of my own things I've had to struggle with, embarrassment and being embarrassed. I found nothing but love from people out there. You know, I've in a wheelchair, carrying my cane. I took my daughter to the movie, Ava. She picked the movie that was on the far end of the theater. And like on carpet, it's difficult for me to walk right now, so or to stand. And so she's carrying popcorn. She's got to carry the popcorn, the sodas, because when I have my cane, I can't carry anything. And so I'm like, all right, Ava, let's go. You and me on a date. So she picked the movie. It's on the far end, Theater 16. On the far, I mean, not the second from the end, the far end. And I've got to think things like, okay, if I have to go to the bathroom, how, you know, I got to think things like that. And there's steps going up in the dark theater. And, you know, I got to think of all these things. And so here's my little daughter. We're walking along and I'm embarrassed. I'm thinking, I can't even take my daughter on a date. See, that's a lie in emotion. So I had to capture that emotion and say, shut up. You're on a date with a pretty girl. You know, she's carrying all the popcorn and, you know, picked out our seats. And so I'm saying that because that's the emotion that grabs me. So I have to get it and say, shut up. It's a lie. It's a lie. Live life, even if the emotions are lying to you. Even if you feel like you failed, even if you're embarrassed. What kind of faith preacher are you? You know, what kind of healing evangelist are you? You know, trying to talk to the guys at the therapy place is hilarious because they're Baptist or they're atheists. And, you know, they believe that, well, God puts things on you for a reason. And, you know, I mean, I don't blame them, but how do I preach to them? You know? So I preach to them the best I can. And listen, the Word of God is truth. It's so true that even while I'm receiving my healing, preaching that God doesn't put sickness on people, to the therapist who's whole and his whole, their job is working with people who are broken. Do you know that he's asked me for a referral, a reference, for his? He wants to be a become a doctor, get his doctorate. He asked me to give him a reference. This is a man that I've discussed many things with, and because physical therapy is very personal. They're in your armpit all the time, and it's amazing how even while I'm going through a battle that says it doesn't work, you can still preach the word of truth and people receive it. See, faith for me isn't just the end result. It's getting up every day and living like the word of God is true. And that's the same for you. Don't be afraid to take medicine. Don't be afraid to open up to someone. Don't be afraid to share your heart. Don't be afraid to get encouragement from friends, from family, from church. If you need a kick in the rear, get a friend that kicks you in the rear. Tells you, get out of bed, let's go. If you need, you got to have a hugger friend, you need a kicker friend, you need to line them up. I can say this, I thank God that I'm here. God wasn't surprised. He's put people around me. And for those who don't live at the prayer center, may not have a church or a church family, the only prayer I have for them is that if they go through a battle, that they will trust that God has already brought people around them to be encouragement. It may not be church people. It may be worldly people. It may be someone that's not saved, but God can still use them. God will help you. Don't give up. Amen? So, thank you for letting me share that today. I wasn't planning on sharing that today, but don't give up. Faith is not just being perfect. Faith is getting up every day and walking through whatever comes your way. And don't let the devil tell you you don't have faith. Because if you're getting up and believing, you will win. We're already victorious. We just got to walk through it. But we're going to win. We will see revival. The devil's trying really hard to get us to give up. He's trying really hard to get us to just accept a standard, boring Christian lifestyle. I can tell you through this battle already, it's been 10 months, and God's grace has been amazing. He's provided for us. He's taken care of us. His grace has been on my family. It's been amazing. But in 10 months of struggling for becoming whole, I can tell you I'm a better person. My roots in Him are deeper. Something great is working on the inside of me that I can't put words to it yet. And it's because there's a fight in there. It says, don't give up. So the end is better because of the battle. If you don't give up. Amen. Why don't you stand with me? Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Amen. So let's just take a moment, and it's kind of I want to say a battle cry today. I feel in my heart for us to simply look the devil in the eye and say we're not quitting. We're not changing course. So say this with me. Say, Father, I'm yours. My life belongs to you. My steps belong to you. On this earth, I want no reward. I want no glory. I want my reward in heaven. The glory belongs to you. So the victory is already ours. Revival is already seen. We choose to trust you wherever your steps lead us. We belong to you. And we won't quit on you. We won't get selfish. We won't get focused on living for our flesh or for the pleasures of the flesh or for the peace of the flesh. We choose to walk through everything the devil tries to stop us with. Because the victory is already mine. I've already won. You won't quit. Your word is truth. So I won't quit. I have everything I need. I have your word. I have your grace. And I have your nature. I've already won. Thank you for strength today. And every day. To keep walking. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God bless you.